Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hut, 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 hut. I'm hearing hut, hut, hut in my sleep, Chip Scoggins. Welcome, Scott Korzenowski in for Chad Hartman. We're joined by Chip Scoggins, columnist for the Star Tribune. And I'm not kidding you. I think I woke up with sweats hearing hut, 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 hut. I mean, that was absurd.
How you doing, Corzo?
I'm doing great. Other than, I'm old enough now that I can find the humor in these things, because it was humorous. It's ironic that when they were in Detroit, they had like one false start, and the Lions had like three or four, and then the Vikings get home and they've got eight. And I don't know. My sense is when I heard KOC and everybody, because what's the number one rule you can't do over at TCO Performance Center? You can't blame JJ for anything, okay? So they're going out of their way, and I'm fine with that. I don't need them coming out and saying, JJ, this. I think that's fine that they do that. I think that's smart that they do that. But I get the sense that JJ, I mean, what's the most common denominator on eight false starts? It's the quarterback's the one doing the cadence, right? Because all different guys are jumping at different times.
Well, I will say I saw an all-timer yesterday. I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback get a false
start
before yesterday. I don't think I've ever seen that, which pretty much summed up the day. Yeah, eight false starts when you're at home is hard to do. You have to really try to be that bad at it. And whether it was something the Ravens were doing, trying to mimic the calls, whether it was J.J., the way his cadence was confusing his guys. But didn't they practice that? Like, isn't that something you rehearse and go over? Like, we're going to try a hard count here, or we're going to do this. I mean, you think with veterans, I mean, they only have one young guy on the line, that veterans should know better. So I don't know. It was just an undisciplined performance by really all the way around, but by the offensive line particularly, and you know, the turnovers, it was just sloppy. I mean, that was a game that if you play well and lose, fine. But if you have that many penalties and that many turnovers, it's hard to live with.
And the defense really held Lamar Jackson in check. You look at his numbers, their strategy was, I talked about on my Sunday show, that their strategy had to be different from Jared Goff, where they attacked him up the middle because Jared Goff can't move. And I said their job with Lamar has to be to keep him in the pocket. And boy, they kept him in the pocket extremely well. And then he had receivers dropping passes, and he threw a couple of bad passes, and they put some pressure on him. I mean, the defense played very well, okay? They played very well. But the problem is, I don't remember, I mean, I didn't have time today to look it up, but 22 incompletions in an NFL game? 22 incompletions? I mean, I bet we might have to go back to the Josh Freeman game to see that many incompletions in a game. I mean, that's the biggest concern I have, is that JJ is accuracy is really, it seems to be getting worse rather than better.
Well, and the way he started, he was on point, right?
Yes.
I mean, he was that first drive. You're like, okay, he's dialed in, and we've seen this before. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what I think a couple weeks ago when they came back from Europe. If you remember, KO was talking about, they basically used that bye week. It was just him and JJ and, maybe McGowan was out there. It was almost like a quarterback camp where they're working on his fundamentals. And he said something. He's like, McCarthy can be an accurate passer when his mechanics are, if everything, he calls it balanced body and all these things. But we've seen when it's not, and he tends to throw high, right? We saw that a couple times again yesterday. He airmailed Jefferson. I know the one late in the game, right along the sideline. He's wide open. He just throws it 5 feet over his head. And so I don't know if he gets overexcited. I don't know if it's his mechanics fail him or what it is, but he has a tendency just to lose his accuracy. And, you know, I'm sure it's something they're talking about and trying to figure out the root of it. And I think O'Connell always goes back to fundamentals with those things. But you're right. When you have that many incompletions, and so, you know, there are a few of them that are drops, but when you have that many incompletions, I mean, something's going wrong. And it also speaks to, then why are you, and I understand that, you know, you got Justin Jefferson one-on-one on the outside, on the post, down the middle, but when it's third and a foot or inches or whatever, why are you trying that? Just run the ball, right? Just run the ball.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he just is so averse to running the ball in short yardage.
To me, I think this goes back to, look, I'm going to be critical of KOC on certain things, okay? But I like KOC as a coach. I think we all do, okay? I don't think anyone's saying fire KOC. That's not even remotely in the conversation, okay? But that doesn't mean, I think one of the things that, I think KOC has a KOC offense. And we all remember when the Pastrnak came on board, Josh Dobbs, and he had like two or three games where he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off, and we were all loving it. We're going, this is great. This is kind of like, it's fantastic. We had a quarterback in Kirk who can't move at all, and he's winning. And then all of a sudden, they play against the Raiders, and the Pastrnak never leaves the pocket, and they score 3 points. I mean, it's like KOC was trying to turn the Pastrnak into Kirk, into Cousins, and can't do that. And I think that KOC needs to start JJ at the remedial level, and then move up to the expert level. And I think he expects him to do these expert plays too that take a lot more, where he's confident in his footwork. I think he gets inaccurate when he doesn't have his feet under him. When he's running, he always throws it high. And when he's not where he's got the nice platform to throw, he's not able to throw accurate passes. Most quarterbacks aren't, right? Lamar Jackson's different. Mahomes is different. But most quarterbacks have to have their footwork, and they can get it. And when he gets out of the pocket and he doesn't really know what he's doing, it doesn't work very well when he throws the ball right now.
Well, it is. And what was the whole premise of this season, though, Corso? Like, they went out and they got a running back, a power running back, right?
Yep.
And Jordan Mason, they upgraded the offensive line. Now, obviously, the center's not there, but everybody else is there right now. And it was under the whole premise of they're going to be better running the ball in short yardage situations, in the low red zone, in those type of things where they weren't equipped to do that last year. They felt like they were equipped to do it this year. And I guess he's just, you know, the play caller, he gets in those situations, it's hard to change who you are. He still wants to go for the kill shot. He still wants to go for that home run play. And I understand you have Justin Jefferson, and you feel like anytime he's got a single coverage on him, you want to throw to him and let him make the play. But at some point you have to depend on your running game more. And we've just seen it time and again this year where he hasn't. And that, you know, the first one where, you know, they don't do it. And then McCarthy makes a bad decision on one that leads to an interception, just throwing it up for grabs there. The other one, you know, okay, Jefferson falls down or trips, and it's, you know, that's not anyone's fault per se, but I would just rather them be more balanced and not, I understand the logic, right? You want to put McCarthy in these situations where he has to sink or swim, so to speak, right? You're trying to develop him. But you also, like, have to understand the game situation, too. And, like, it just seems like it'd be more practical to run in those situations and get a first down and then, you know, try to keep the chains moving that way. So it's, for all the talk we heard about, this is going to be a more power running team. They're going to rely on it more. It just hasn't proven to be that at all.
It just shows you that, and I knew that this bothered me at the time, when losing all of last year for JJ playing. So now we're in year two out of, you know, the 5-year window, right? And and you know, if last year had been going on now, maybe by now he'd figure it out. Look, after four games, I am not pulling the plug on JJ McCarthy, and I still think he's going to be good. But I guess is the best thing to do is to, you know, I just say that, hey, when you start skiing, if any of you are from the snow skier, you start on the bunny hill, right? And once you get the bunny hill, you go to the blue hill. And then once you get a little bit better, you go to the double blue hill. But you got to be able to be steady on your skis before you go to the black diamond, right? And my thought is that he's got him playing the black diamond. He's figuring he's good enough to play the black diamond, and he's not right now. And there's no shame in that, right? There needs to be some work done to do it. I mean, Drake Mays played 25 games, and you see it. You see him blossoming this year with good coaching, but he wasn't blossoming last year because he didn't have good coaching. Anyway, I'm not going to give up on JJ. I'm just saying that the one thing I really want to see is I want to see JJ play 8 more games. And that's why, as a fan, I'm not expecting anything. I just want to see JJ play 8 games and be healthy and see what he looks like at the end of the year. And we may be great, and he may still be bad. We may not have all of our answers, but I'm just hopeful that they can do that. And I would like to see Kevin give him a little more ease along the line, a little more ease. Like I said, running on 3rd-and-1. By the way, when they got down into on the 5-yard line, the only time they really got that deep where the ball was, they ran the ball in for a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
They did. And so it's not like they can't do it.
Yeah. Well, when JJ came back, someone said, you asked me, what do you hope to see? And my first response was him play 10 games,
yep.
Number one. That's the number one thing. Him play 10 games and show that he can stay healthy. And then I think at the end of it, get to the end of the season and then answer, what does he do well? Like, what are his strengths? I think you have to be able to know that when you get to the end of the season. Like, what are you building around? What does he do well? Those two things to me are the most important right now.
It is. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I will talk about some sports other than your Vikings. We'll talk a little bit about the Wolves. Are they starting to wake up from a slumber, or is it just a matter they're playing some lousy teams? We'll talk about that. Maybe a little Wild, maybe Twins, whatever Chip wants to talk about, we'll talk about. Maybe a little bit Tennessee. And I do want to talk to Chip a little bit about college football and the experience I had watching that Indiana-Penn State game. When we come back here on 830 WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Korzenowski in for Hartman today. Harrigan here, and we're joined by Chip Scoggins for a second segment. We spent the last segment breaking down your Vikings, last night at the start of that game, the Wolves game, when they got Rudy like 6 quick hoops, by lobbing it to him on fast breaks and other things, I'm sitting there going to myself, that is the formula. Because love it or not, when Rudy gets ignored, it affects his defense. And I know he says he's aware of it and he doesn't do it, but when they got him going and Rudy was a monster the rest of that game, and they made quick work of the Sacramento Kings.
Well, when you remember, early in the game, I'd been the second possession or so where he led the fast break or whatever.
Yes.
He had the field. He drove down there to the layup.
Yep.
Probably not coincidentally. Then he had 3 quick blocks the rest of that quarter. You're right. When you can get him in those situations where you alley-ooping to him, he's getting dunks, it is going to energize him. And I mean, obviously, Sacramento's awful. The team's not very good.
What happened? Or they got rid of De'Aaron Fox, of course. They were right there with the Wolves a couple years ago, on the verge of being good. And, now they basically have Sabonis, and they have, the former Wolf. He was pouring him in last night.
Zach LaVine.
Yeah. And then you got.
That's about it.
And then DeRozan's okay, and Monk. That's about it.
Monk.
But who usually kills the Wolves and didn't do anything last night. So.
No, their defense was good. The energy, obviously, Ant didn't score a lot early and then turned it on in the second quarter and it was basically over. But the thing that I think, obviously they need to beat good teams and not just the bad teams and beat them up. But the way they're shooting it, they're second in the league in 3-point shooting. They're really shooting it well from the three. So if they can sustain that and get back to their defensive identity that we saw a couple years ago and be tough to go against, then you think they'll climb out of it. But again, they need to show it against the good teams and not just be beating up on the bad teams. But this is it is a nice sign that they're starting to play better and bury those teams and not just let them hang around.
I'll tell you who's playing great. There's a couple of – Julius Randle is playing great. The game the other night, I was talking on my show Sunday, when he passed – you had 38-year-old Joe Ingles passing the ball to Johan Berenger. 20-year difference. I love that. So when I love that Joe Ingles got an assist to Berenger for a dunk. Yeah. That was great. It was a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, Julius is, he's playing, he's getting what, had two triple doubles.
Yes.
To me, the key, though, Corzo, is Jaden McDaniels.
Yep, he's
been great. When he plays this way, and he's playing really good, he's playing at a high level. To me, he's always been the X factor. We've always talked about his scoring, like when he gets X number of shots, they tend to win, right? But just, and it happened last year when they had injuries, he had to step up and we saw his scoring blossom, and we saw it again this year when Ant was out. When he's adding the scoring element to it and the playmaking, because he's such a unique player, I just think he's the X factor and makes him different. So the way he's playing, along with Julius, I think, that can be their identity, because Ant's going to do what he does. Like, he's going to be great, right, and score a lot. So, but when you get Jaden being that third guy, now all of a sudden they can be that much more difficult to defend.
I'll tell you what I love about Jaden. He's discovered his offensive game, meaning he takes the mid-range shots from in the paint, which are such difficult shots. He almost never misses them because he's so long. He arches his back and no one can touch him, and he's super confident. And anytime he takes those little, when he gets the ball in the paint, I'm going, don't pass it. You take whatever shot you want because you're really good at it. And then he will take wide open threes. But like last night, he took three threes. That's the right number for him, because he's not a great three-point shooter, but he's shooting them better this year. But he has found his game. He makes the living in the paint, right? And then if you leave him wide open, especially the more clutch it is, the more likely he is to make it. How many games have we seen where they're leaking some oil, and boy, they really need a three, and there's Jaden knocking one down from the corner?
Well, that's it. I mean, he just expanded his game. Because remember a couple of years ago in the playoffs when Luka was with Dallas, Jaden was basically standing in the corner. Luka was guarding no one because they were just going to be content to let him shoot that corner three. And he just didn't have the confidence. But when he's driving and using, because he's so is it unorthodox? Is that the word? When he's driving and hard and long, that when he gets to that spot, he's scoring, right? So he's totally added an element to his game through hard work. And so as he continues to do that and gets more and more confidence in his offensive ability, because he's going to play hard defense and be a disruptor there, I just think that makes him a much different team. Like when he's giving him that kind of scoring and ability to get his own shot and create when he gets to the lane, he can be a really dynamic player.
But like you said, they still haven't beaten a good team. Now, before I let you go, I know you're a big college football fan. Given that the Gophers have been, I don't usually sit down on a Saturday and watch a lot of college football, but I'll tell you what, I was flying back on a plane a couple Saturdays ago, and they had TV on, and I was watching, and it was all SEC games, and I watched the SEC, and I realized the reason the SEC is so great is because they have so many doggone great quarterbacks. Okay. And then I sat down and I was going to watch the Indiana game, because I love Indiana, because it's kind of like, as being a Gopher fan, it's like Indiana's like the Gophers' brother. They're the same crappy program forever, and now they're at the top of the field. And Gus Johnson was calling the game. So when I can watch a game with Gus Johnson calling it, and I know he's a lot of people hate him, I absolutely love him. And I don't know if you, when they came back, Indiana came back, and Mendoza was put on an unbelievable show, and that guy made an unbelievable catch. And did you hear the call? I mean, just Johnson, his voice like went, he sounded like a little girl screaming. It was hilarious. I thought he was going to die.
I saw a tweet where someone said, check on Gus Johnson.
Yes.
And I don't know if Mendoza, he's one of the two probably leaders for the Heisman right now with Simpson, the Bama quarterback.
Yep.
But every Heisman winner has that moment, right? You have to have that on your resume, that moment, that Heisman moment that we call it. And that will be his, because you're down in Happy Valley and you have to have a touchdown drive there. And just the number of plays he made to get him down there. And then the final one, the catch. I mean, I don't know what's better, the throw. Well, the catch was better, but the throw was, because he's getting drilled as he's throwing it. But that catch by the receiver was just an all-timer. I mean, that's one of the best catches you're ever going to see in that situation, considering the magnitude of the game. So, it was and then Gus's call lived up to the play.
It was
great.
The funny thing was, I'm watching with my wife, and I said, you got to listen to this Gus Johnson guy. And, I mean, I remember I went back and I looked it up. I said, I think he started with the Timberwolves, and I looked it up. He did. And And he, and I said, and she was loving it too. And when that touchdown went one, we were both ecstatic because we wanted Indiana to win. But she was just, we were both just laughing out loud. I mean, that was such a joyful moment. That's perfect for, Gus is just perfect for college football. He really, really is. Now, before I let you go, your Tennessee Vols, are they, I think they're still in the running for the playoff. Are they not? Are they on the bubble?
Yeah, they're bubble. They need to win out. They've already have three losses. So they have to win out starting Saturday. This is one thing about the SEC that just sort of drives me crazy. They'll sprinkle in a non-conference game late in there. So the Vols play New Mexico State this week, yep. Which kind of breaks the disruption of the thing. But, yeah, they need to go finish out and to be in the mix.
Well, great talking to you, Chip. I always like to fill in for Chad on a Monday so I can talk to Chip Scoggins. Thanks again, Chip.
All right, Corzo. See you, man.
See ya. Always the great Chip Scoggins, from StarTribune.com. Coming up, what do we got coming up here? We've got, I think I'm going to talk a little bit about baby boomers, of which I'm one, and how we are hogging everything.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.